When I was growing up, I was always asking questions. I'm told that my favorite word was, why? Why is the sky blue? Why is the grass green? Why is the earth round? Why do cats have 9 lives? Why do cats purr? Why do dogs chase their own tails? Why do people yawn? Why do fire trucks, why are they painted red rather than white and yellow? Because, you know, fire is white and yellow. Why do I have to go to bed at 9? Do these sound familiar? Why? Why do I have to keep quiet in church? Why do I have to go to church? That's starting to meddle a little bit, isn't it? Why is God God and not some other being God? Why is God love? Why does the Bible have the books that are in it and not some other books? Why do we stand to sing hymns? Or sometimes sit, I guess. Why do preachers wear robes? Why is the church in the morning? When it was a Last Supper and not a prayer breakfast? No one ever has an answer for that one. Questions. Why? I still love questions, especially why questions. I will always assert that there's never anything wrong with questions. You can learn a lot about someone from the kinds of questions they ask. You can also learn a lot about someone from not only how they answer questions, but how they even react to questions. Too many religious people shy away from questions. At least that's what it seems like. They act like questions are hard or troubling or difficult, or that they reflect a degree of doubt. In fact, doubt is one of those things that can be frightening to many. How can we have faith in the face of doubt? Can we have faith in the face of doubt? How does faith function amidst the cloud of unknowing in which we find ourselves living almost all the time? To be very honest with you, I have lots of doubts. I doubt the honesty of politicians, lawyers, advertisers, and preachers, and I'm one of those. I have lots of questions. Some are doubts. Some are curiosities. Some are just annoying I want to knows. Some are head scratchers. I wonder about things like the afterlife, heaven and hell. Is there even a hell? What about heaven? If it's just clouds and people sitting around, sitting on those clouds, playing harps, I think I'd like to be uploaded to some other kind of heaven. I wonder about the doctrine of the Trinity. Oh, I know how to formulate it. I know where it comes from and why it's important in Christian theology. I know that, like a metaphor, what it teaches us about God and about us is far more important than the formula itself. I wonder about the nature of creation. Why did God create the heavens and the earth? Is far more interesting to me, a far more interesting question than how it was created. Science shows us how it was created. Just pay attention to what we can discover by looking at the universe with the scientific method, and you'll discover how the universe came about and how it functions. But why is it the way it is a religious question. And for me, that's more important. People who are looking towards Monday's eclipse and saying, oh, it's a sign of the apocalypse. Jesus is returning. Yeah, right. We have an eclipse every few years on this planet because the moon orbits it and we orbit the sun. And sometimes the moon comes between us and the sun just right to completely eclipse the sun. It's a matter of science, not a harbinger of things to come. I wonder about other doctrines. The doctrine of the virgin birth, the incarnation of Christ, the doctrine of the humanity and divinity of Christ, the authority of the Bible, our very existence as creations of God, the very existence of God. Why do we exist? Do we even exist? Is this real? Or is it Memorex? Is this a real universe? Or are we just some kind of simulation in someone else's galactic computer? Doubts, questions, wonderings, puzzlements, head scratchers. There's nothing wrong with any of these kinds of questions. Asking questions is the beginning of learning, the beginning of wisdom. Saying, I don't know, but I'm going to try to find out, is the inception of wisdom. Asking questions is the end of useless doubt and the start of a journey of discovery. That's why I love the Apostle Thomas. In the scriptural accounts about Thomas, he's either expressing doubt or he's asking a question. The first time he's mentioned is in John chapter 11, verse 16. Lazarus has just died. Jesus wants to go to Bethany to visit Mary and Martha after his death. The other disciples don't want Jesus to go because it's going to be a very dangerous journey. And Thomas says, let's go with him so we can die too. Wow, Thomas. That's quite some doom and gloom and sarcastic negativity there. The second time Thomas is mentioned and has a speaking line is in John 14, verse 5, where Jesus has just explained that he's going to go away to prepare a heavenly place for his followers, and that they would one day be joining him there. And Thomas replies and says, hey, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Which sets up Jesus' famous, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The third time Thomas appears and is speaking is right here in John chapter 20. Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and in his side, I will not believe. He has some very strong doubt here. Perfectly in character with what we know about him, about how he's depicted elsewhere. He's not saying he won't believe, but he's got to have it proven to him. Show me, he says. As I often say, Thomas sounds like he's from Missouri, like he's from the Show Me State. Show me, and I'll believe. He's often called a doubter because of this. And while the term doubting Thomas comes from this, in truth, I think it's a virtue. Thomas wants to know. But more than that, Thomas wants to experience the risen Christ. Not just hear about it, not just see it. He wants to come into direct, tangible contact with the risen Christ. A desire that, frankly, I have too. And as the story goes in the Gospel of John, that's what happened. On the evening of the first Sunday after Easter, a week later, the disciples were again in the house and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut and Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he turns to Thomas and he says, put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe. Jesus' words here are critical and are written for us. Reach out and touch me, Jesus says. Do not doubt, but believe. One day, on May the 14th, I was sitting in a chapel at Laureland Funeral Home in Dallas. My mother was on my left. My brother was on the other side of her. No one was on my right. And I remember sitting there as one of my best friends in ministry, Tom Waitchies, preached the funeral for my father, who had died a few days before, on May the 11th in 2007. And I remember sitting there with my eyes closed, listening as Tom read the passage, "Let not your hearts be troubled, believe in God, believe also in me." And I felt as though Jesus was touching my right hand, like my dad would, sitting in church when I was a child, reaching out to touch me, to quiet me, to comfort me, to remind me that he was there. I felt, in my heart of hearts, I felt Jesus touch me. And I knew in that moment that I was not alone. And that, like Thomas, Jesus had revealed himself to me. Like Thomas, we may have many doubts, many questions, many puzzlements, many head scratchers. We don't have all the answers. We don't have to have all the answers. We may never have. In fact, we won't have all the answers. And what answers we do have are often as slippery as Jell-O being nailed to the wall. But that's okay. And faith is still here. Thomas came to faith. Thomas proclaimed about Jesus, "My Lord and my God." In Greek, hakurias mu kai hatheas mu. In Hebrew, well, it just came out as God's name, Adonai Elohim. May we go from doubt to faith and still ask the questions and still wonder at the puzzles and still wrestle with the doubt and still scratch our heads and struggle with understanding. For faith amongst doubt is a true expression of spiritual maturity. Faith that doesn't fear the questions. Faith that grows by and through the questions is a sign of spiritual maturity amongst us. What happened to Thomas? Traditions about Thomas abound, and they stretch far beyond Palestine. They stretch to the east, to India, where Thomas is said to have been the founding apostle of the church in India and was martyred just outside of Madras. And today you can find churches named after him and a cathedral with his claimed bones in it there in India. And there's no question that Christianity got to India very quickly after the life and ministry of Jesus. Thomas went from doubt to faith. I'm sure he still asked questions, And those questions propelled him on to proclaim the good news of the love of God in Jesus Christ to all. May we take our questions, learn and grow through them, struggle with them, seek for answers, be open to different ideas and different kinds of answers. And may we move forward, sharing the love of God, as Thomas did, with all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Invites to the table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. So I invite you to join with me now as we approach the table of grace and see and know the presence of God.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and a good and a joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest.
Are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come and he would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, the Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave the cup to his disciples, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ, offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of the faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with your Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Confidence of the children of God, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and glory forever. Amen. The disciples knew the Lord Jesus in the breaking of the bread. And when we give thanks over the cup, we know the life-giving sacrifice and eternal real presence of Jesus the Christ.